It's Thursday, April 12th, 2018. Welcome to Raging Chicken's Out the Coop podcast. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Each week, I talk to our Capitol muckraker in chief, Sean Kitchen, about the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. Got a little bit of a different show here tonight, folks. I am out in State College, Pennsylvania. Yes, the home of Penn State. For the final ABSCUF Legislative Assembly of the academic year. This is our faculty union, my faculty union. And so I'm out here in from Thursday until Saturday. So Sean and I are doing a special Thursday night edition. We are at the Toff Trees Country Club, I guess, golf place or whatever it might be. And I have to tell you right off the bat that the Wi-Fi access here, the internet access, is not great. So we've had to do a little bit of editing to tonight's podcast, and you're going to hear at the very end of the show tonight, it starts to break up right at the very end as we kind of cut it a little bit short. We had to cut out an early segment of the show when we're talking a little bit about, just kind of more general comments and discussion that it was just breaking up really bad. But hopefully you'll stick with us this week as we kind of make it through what proved to be a pretty insane week. So in addition to talk a little bit about just the insanity in national politics, I mean, I have to say this week rivaled every other one for the top week in craziness. Everything from the, oh my God, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, threats on Syria for nuclear war, missile bombing, to Paul Ryan's resignation, to the raid on Trump's lawyers Cohen's offices and home, to, you just name it. This week has been nuts. And then on the flip side of it, there's also been kind of amazing stuff happening when it comes to nationwide strikes. Statewide strikes in like Oklahoma and the potential in Arizona. So we get into that a little bit today. We also kind of follow up on some sort of the reporting that Sean did this week. Sean was reporting a bit on the State Policy Network and how they released a memo attacking striking school teachers. What's interesting about this memo is it was not intended for public consumption, but it lays out State Policy Network's basically plan and talking points for how to destroy teachers' unions, what kind of messaging you need for that. It's basically pitting, students against teachers and teachers against teachers, kind of stuff you would imagine. We also see is Daryl Metcalf this week. Daryl Metcalf. Well, he basically took up the gerrymandering reform bill in his committee and basically eviscerated it. Gutted it and replaced it with nothing, short of a sheer power grab that could potentially lead to Republicans maintaining, for all practical purposes, permanent control of Pennsylvania's legislature, at least for the foreseeable future. So Sean gets in that. Then we talk about, of course, in Mill Creek Township, that school district. No, it wasn't River Rocks this time, folks, but it was, they gave teachers 500 mini-bats. Mini bats, those little souvenir bats? Gave them the teachers in order to stop an active shooter. Because that's the world we live in. I'll talk a little bit about the Colleen Bradley case. That's the whistleblower case that I've been following. Published a piece in Raging Chicken today detailing the legal case, right? And why this is potentially going to make it to the Supreme Court if the Supreme Court agrees to hear it. Sean also gets in and tells us a little about some herons, particularly the yellow-crowned herons as they return to Harrisburg. And the Midtown neighborhood, kind of right down the street from where Sean is basically their only breeding colony in the state. So that was kind of a cool thing that happened this week. And Sean's got some info about moving on to some bigger and better things, also cool. I'll warn you ahead of time, this is definitely a beer-accompanied podcast as we both crack open some Pizza Boy beers, particularly the Turkey Burglar caught red-handed, and some other things. We'll talk a little bit about that and a whole bunch of other little things. I want to remind everybody to listen to the Rick Smith Show on Free Speech TV this and every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'll be there once again this week, giving the weekly resistance report. You can stream the show live at freespeech.org. You can also tune in on Dish Network, DirecTV, or through the Free Speech TV app on Roku. If you miss the show, no problem. You can go to ricksmithshow.com and click on the Free Speech TV icon in the sidebar, or just go right to freespeech.org and look for the archive shows, and you got it right there at your fingertips, folks. If you like what you're hearing on Raging Chicken, you like what you've been reading in the pages of Raging Chicken, you like Sean's on-the-ground reporting the Capitol, you like some of the investigative work that I'm doing right now regarding whistleblower cases, well, hey, there's only one thing you can do. You can support Pull No Punches Progressive Media by becoming a member of Raging Chicken Press for as little as $5 a month. Simply go to patreon.com/rcpress and choose your membership level. If you're not ready to become a member, no problem. You can make a one-time donation by going to ragingchickenpress.org and click on the Support and Membership tab. Click Donate and you'll be good to go. All right, so that's my re-recorded intro for today. I'm going to take a quick break and then we're going to be jumping into the show a little bit after a little of the kind of intro banter back and forth. So we kind of launch right in. Sorry, it's a little bit of an abrupt beginning, but best we could do with what quality we could pull out of it here. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We'll be back right after this. Yeah, man, you have been, I'll tell you, you have been busy. You have been really busy. And you know, I guess when you're busy by going to check out hearings and you're in the state capitol, especially as spring springs, right? You know, as spring has sprung, it seems like more and more of the crazy comes out. Some cool stuff this week.
Yeah, I guess. What should we start with?
Let's just do best of crazy, just in kind of like in the news in general this week. I mean
Michael Cohen.
Where do you start, right? I mean, you know, the Michael Cohen kind of the raid on his offices, right? That was kind of
his house and hotel.
Yeah, his house and his hotel. We'll see what comes of that. I know that the hashtag resistance folks are all kind of expected to find, like, you know, hammer and sickles and red flags and like busts of Lenin in there so that they can rekindle the Russian war. But, you know, we'll see. So, or maybe it's just going to be the actual videotapes of Trump and Stormy Daniels, so that they're going to pass on to Melania. I don't know. I don't know what's in there. I would hate to be at that hearing. What's that?
Tapes, are they there? The P-tapes.
The P-tapes. Yeah, that's what it'll be. It'll be the Stormy Daniel tape. It'll be the P-tapes. Right?
I think Obama's birth certificate might be in there too.
That's it. Trump bought it at an auction. That's what it is. Oh, man. Yeah, so you've got that craziness. You've got, Mike Pompeo. You know, got to like Mike Pompeo making news this week. What's that? Yeah,
to the State Department.
Yeah. Did you hear that Pompeo actually tried to get in touch with Hillary Clinton? Did you hear this?
No, I did not.
He tried to get in touch with her to ask her advice on how to deal with a contentious hearing. I mean, you just like, really?
She really? Only went through like 60 or 70 of them.
But I mean, like, in what you see, world?
There was a thing called Benghazi. Yes. That you could pull tape from, and
no, it just blows my mind. The guy's like, oh, you know, I think it's going to be a contentious hearing. Who should I call? Hillary. Hillary would be more than willing to help me out. give her a ring.
I guess we all have dreams.
Yeah, exactly. I guess. Mike Pompeo, man. Mike Pompeo. Well, I guess on the positive side of the ledger, I mean, other than kind of all the, well, you know, again, we should say, are we going to bomb Syria, right? Is that what's going to happen? Should we expect more like, hey, Russia, get ready. The bombs are coming, right? More of those tweets coming out from Trump? I don't know. Are we gonna make it through the month of April before we're kind of like embroiled in yet another war? I don't know.
Well, when does another Homeland Security advisor quit?
Oh, did it? This is one I missed.
Yes, because of Bolton coming in.
Oh no! You mean national security advisor?
Yeah, national security.
Yeah. With Bolton coming, that's right. The stash is back. How can we forget that?
Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan. I know. Paul Ryan resigned. The guy's like, yeah, okay, get I've effectively created a huge future debt. Trillions of dollars in debt, gave lots of money to really rich people, cut people off from kind of public services. Yep, we're about done here.
He's like the guy that jumps off. He's like the captain's like the first. That's the first one off the ship.
Yeah, totally. No, exactly. He's like, I'm not waiting for the rats. He's like, I'm going to go first.
But like the thing. So the thing about Paul Ryan that's so interesting is he royally fucks over the party in a way that does no justice. Because he dropped out before the primary, then there's no other candidate to really vote for. If he dropped out after the primary, the party would have picked the candidate. So the candidate that is now running to replace Paul Ryan as a Republican in the House is an avowed white nationalist, Richard Nayland.
Hey, folks, don't count him out. I mean, this is 2018 in the Republican politics, and do not count him out.
Yes. I mean, this guy's like a straight-up white nationalist, white supremacist, and he's proud about it.
And yeah, right? He's like, dude, I got the swastika to show you, see?
And so he's now running against the Iron Stash, which, yep. You know what I did when I, like, 20 minutes after I saw?
What's that?
Paul Ryan dropout. I gave the Iron Stash $20.
Oh, there you go, man.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. I think that'd be a kind of a good thing to do for anybody listening to this podcast right now. Yeah. If you want a kind of money well spent? There you go. Did you see his video that came out after Paul Ryan withdrew?
No, I did not.
It was awesome because it was just kind of like, okay, I guess Paul Ryan couldn't take it. He didn't want the humiliation of a loss. Well, here we go. But you can see even though it was like produced and all stuff, you can see the look on his face kind of like, this is nuts. Like kind of like, here we go. I can't believe that just happened. This guy is like, you know, I can't believe that just happened.
Okay. So like people who don't believe in the big blue wave, yeah. Like this just shows you that they are getting ready for an ass kicking at the
yes,
polls.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
I mean, wave or no wave, they're getting an ass kicking and they're getting ready for it. Yeah. Because like instead of like losing these races, they're all resigning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you, the Iron Stash, man, it was just you gotta watch the video because he's got this kind of like
holy shit look.
Yeah, the holy shit, but like happy kind of like, oh, what do we do now kind of thing. You think about the whole campaign has been Paul Ryan, evildoer, right? You know, I am the anti-Paul Ryan. And like, you know, and now like the video is kind of like, look at that. I drove him away without even having to go to the election because he's so afraid.
Little Paul Ryan is going to go back and he's going to spend.
Now I look at this race, why it's like also going to be important, because he gets to run a campaign against a straight up white nationalist.
Yes.
And shows you how we should be responding to racism.
Exactly.
And how exactly. We should be fighting for unity and like really drive home the need for progressivism and populism.
Exactly. And you think about it like this, what I always think is like, you know, there's no excuse at this point because you're going to have, you know, the DCCC and those folks are always going to try to like find, like have money that comes in as long as he tempers his message, right? With Ryan gone and a white nationalist on the other side, that's out the window.
Yeah.
Like what are they going to say? The DCCC, what? I'm going to temper my message so I'm kind of like more like what? Like
more I have to move to the right because I'm running against a straight up white nationalist.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, no, fuck this. I'm running. Right.
It's a perfect opportunity to make that line nice and clear.
Yeah. Right?
So
we're going to kick his ass as a running on a true progressive campaign and show you how you deal with these people.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, and it's, I think that actually, you know, as, if he gets elected, you know, again, I'm not going to write anything off in today's world. But if he gets elected, that also is going to give him some space, right, to kind of like to bring that platform, to bring that argument right to D.C., you know, because it's like, you know, Ryan just kind of like, you know, skedaddled, packed his bags, and like he could barely contain himself. Like he just said, "Oh, okay, I'm not okay. I'm not resigning right now. I'm going to stay to January." So we'll see.
I mean, like how like unprecedented is this that you have a House Speaker pretty much like up and leaving,
right? And then
first time, we're second.
Yeah, I mean, it's like unbelievable. And the best part about it is, it just, do you see like the Boehner stuff?
Oh yeah, Boehner medical marijuana.
Yeah, that morning, right? You can see Boehner like getting up nice and early, right before he's golfing. Yeah, I think I'll tweet this out. You know, I'll give, you know, a little love back to my new lobbyist people. No one's gonna see this, right? Then Speaker of the House resigns. Wonder what the last Speaker of the House did. John Bennett. Oh my God, he's working for a cannabis company. Then it made it to like every front page in the world because it got packaged up with the Ryan stuff. That was great. Oh man, I could totally see Boehner. I could totally see Boehner stoned too as well. I get.
And drunk.
Yeah, totally. Well, he's always drunk, right? It's like, you know, like that, and it's cigars or whatever like this. But I could totally see him. He's like out by the lake and like, I don't know what my problem was for so long. I feel great.
Life after politics is sure is good.
Dude, I want to see that guy make commercials, right, for cannabis industry. Hi, I'm John Boehner. I just said hi. Did you see that?
You feel like that bright orange tan going?
Yeah, it'd be kind of like, whoa, you know, all those years in Congress, man, that really had my head screwed on wrong. Now that I've had a little time to get in and get some distance and relax, man, I'm like, what was I thinking when it comes to cannabis? It'll be awesome. But that's crazy, crazy. But on the other side of things, so you got the craziness on the one hand, but man, the excitement this week for me was, you know, seeing the Oklahoma teacher strike, the fact, yeah, like the Republicans in Oklahoma, I mean, actually passed teacher raises, and they actually earlier this week passed a school funding bill, but the teachers are like, look, that's not sufficient. In order, given the deep cuts, the fact that we're going to need more than that, it's not enough. And then you've got on Wednesday, the Arizona teachers they did a walk in. Right, kind of did some rallies outside their school buildings and then all walked back in together. And basically they're saying, we're meeting to talk about the date of our walkout. I mean, that's man, it's huge, Sean.
Yeah. These teacher strikes have sure got the attention of a lot of people out there. That's for sure.
Yeah, they have, I have to say. Like, so, well, that's what I was going to say. Speaking of the getting the attention of some people, why don't we move into some of the stuff that you've been working on this week, man? Because it's like the State Policy Network is hard at work.
Yes. So the State Policy Network is the national organization that oversees 66 think tanks and other like interest law groups or interest networks throughout the country. And two of them in Pennsylvania are the Commonwealth Foundation and the Fairness Center. So the State Policy Network, their parent organizations, released a memo telling them how to talk about the teacher strikes and say, you know, it's time for us to stop attacking their vacation in the summertime and how many hours they actually work, because like their viral post of, you know, people have to doing second jobs and bad crumbling textbooks and all this stuff. And they said, instead, teacher strikes hurt kids. And they hurt kids. They hurt like low income kids and low income parents.
Yep. Nice job.
So that's going to be the top talking point that they released.
Yep. Gonna pretend to care about poor kids. Right. And try to pit poor kids against teachers. Yeah. That's going to work real well.
Yes. And one of the things that they had in this memo was talking about the tax cuts in some of these states. And he said, the argument you can make is the teachers have more money in their pockets because of the tax cuts.
God. Are they? Is that actually on that sheet?
Yes, I'll have to pull it up. So For those of you who are in states where you've cut taxes recently, that is sure to be a theme in the coverage. That is obviously a challenging message to counter, but you can consider something like, quote, one of the most important things we can do to make sure our schools are properly funded is to have a strong economy where everyone who can work, who can find a job, and contribute to the tax coffers that fund the government. Lower tax rates help contribute to stronger job growth. Also, lower taxes on individuals let teachers keep more of their money they earn. End quote.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it, Sean? I'm a big fan too, as well as like this one, right? Trying to actually pit teachers against each other too, as well, right? Rockstar teachers deserve rockstar pay. But the truth is, teachers unions and associations, name your state here, fight policies that would allow good teachers to get paid what they deserve. There you go.
Yeah. And these are pretty much the initiatives that groups like the Commonwealth Foundation and the Fairness Center have been pushing for years, going after teacher tenure, the so-called ghost teachers, and trying to force these schools to become charter schools and break the unions that way.
Exactly. And, you know, the interesting thing to me is that these folks, actually, I think it's been difficult to convince even some teachers, right, and kind of liberals for that matter, that this kind of stuff is real, right? Because, you know, you're every day, if you're not paying attention to politics all the time, it sounds like you're cooking up conspiracy theories. But what was good about this, about finding this document, you could say, nope, here it is. This is what they're doing. This is what they send out to people, right? Just like what we saw happen, after the Tea Party victory, and we saw the Center for the Media Democracy starting to expose the kind of the Alex stuff. You actually get to see what they're doing. So right here in our backyard, folks, Commonwealth Foundation, the Fairness Center. Come into a town near you.
Yep.
Fun.
Next up on the list.
Next up, no.
So, Daryl Metcalf, the other day called a meeting Monday, 2 minutes before session ended, that there would be a committee hearing on House Bill 722 at 10:30 in the morning in one of the smallest rooms possible in the Capitol complex, inside the Ryan office building. And if you fit all the legislators in there, and you can cram like 25 seats in there, and that's it.
Yep. Classic move, right?
Yes. So they eviscerated the citizen commission, pretty much the whole entire language of the bill, the bill that people have been fighting for months now, almost a year.
Well, talk a little bit about just the background of that bill, so people might not be familiar with it. What was the bill originally designed to do?
Create a citizens commission that redraws the maps.
Right, independent, nonpartisan, right?
Yes.
Citizens commission. Yep.
Yes. And
so then Daryl gets his hand on this thing.
Well, this bill was introduced about a year ago, and it was put in the Metcalf's committee hearing. And people from Fair Districts, March on Harrisburg, and other organizations were fighting for this bill to be brought up in a committee vote. So next Monday, Fair Districts has had a rally planned. It's going to bring about 1,000 people to advocate the passage of these bills, 722 in the House and 22 in the Senate. And so Metcalf decided to hold this sham hearing and completely gut it and create a partisan-led gerrymandering commission that would have two members from each caucus. No, a member from each caucus, right? So that's four people there, two Republican, two Democrats, and then two people that are elected from the majority of each caucus.
There you have it.
Which would give you six. It would be a 4-2 majority, pretty much.
A 4-2 majority. And so as I understand it, what they did when they brought this up in the committee hearing, right? Because you can make amendments, you can kind of like, you know, redo, add things, all the stuff. So basically what they did is they literally just hollowed out the bill, replaced it with something else, and are now going to kind of like hawk this thing. Or it hasn't come out of committee yet, right?
No. I mean, it's pretty much like a fuck you to the activists from Metcalf and all them.
Yeah.
And I mean, it pretty much killed gerrymandering reform in this state. And if they wanted to now, since it changes the Constitution, The Republicans could theoretically run this bill out of committee, have it pass the House and Senate, both sessions in a row, and change the Constitution that way. I mean, that's going to be hard to do, right? Mm-hmm. But like this, these people are dedicated to holding on to power, and they're really pissed.
Yeah,
that the Supreme Court redrew these maps, and this was in retaliation to what the Supreme Court did.
Right, and so from what I understand from you know the world of social media, you've been quite an alarmist on this position, Sean.
Yes, I have been.
Oh God, no! But the comment section has been funny. But here, what can just walk us through kind of a little bit what you did in that article, because I think it's really important. Because look, because Sean and I, we've talked about this on the podcast before, is that there are people that believe that okay, look, if there's not a like at least a 50-70% chance that that a bill is actually going to get passed, then you just ignore it as kind of posturing. Our argument has been for a long time is that no, you need to track these moves, right? You need to track the moves and shine a light on them early so you can see what these people are doing, right? And then you say, look, this is kind of what is possible. Like, and Sean never said, right, in his article that this is kind of the likely outcome, right? But was kind of saying, like, look, this is kind of what could happen. And this is why it's important to pay attention to, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it's also that these people are crazy enough to do it.
Right.
I mean, like, you look what Terzai I did, completely disregard for the law and said, voter ID. Done. Mitt Romney's going to win Pennsylvania.
Right. On camera.
Yeah. He was recorded. I don't think he was willingly recorded, but he was recorded saying that.
I think he knew the camera was done. He was up at a podium speaking about it.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Voter ID, done.
Yeah. You know, they lost. They lost the judicial elections in 2015. Two to the porn scandal, right? And then one, it's because a justice was aged out the age of 70. And by 2016, they changed the by last year, they changed the Constitution, raising that to 75, so they wouldn't lose another justice and it would be a 6-1 court.
This is what these people do.
I mean,
right?
They have lost the Supreme Court for decades, which will not allow them to hold on to power once the gerrymandering reform commission or gerrymandering happens in 2022, because the members of each caucus pick a member, right, for the commission. It's usually themselves. The commission is the leader from each caucus. So two Democrats, two Republicans, and then one from the Supreme Court. The Republicans held the Supreme Court in 2010. Now the Democrats have the Supreme Court in 2020 and will have it for 2022. So they are going to lose power no matter what.
Right.
And I think they will potentially try to do everything they can to hold on to it.
Right. Exactly. And I think that the important part is that we can't underestimate crazy. Right. Even if we're talking about something that is like there's a lot of hurdles to get to a point where these Republicans could actually use the Pennsylvania Constitution in order to ensure themselves kind of like majority, you know, foreseeable future. That may be a high bar to clear, right? Or a higher bar to clear, but do never, never underestimate crazy. And I think the, you know, it's important to kind of see what could happen, right? Because, you know, you and I were joking about this before, but it's like, you know, you don't want to be at the point where, you know, you're sitting there like over the mass grave, right? Someone's sitting there with like the baton to the back of your head and you looked at the person next to you, see, I told you so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Now I'm going to be the extremist, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how it is. I mean, you think about theoretically, right? They could pass it by this election, right? 2018. Mm-hmm. They could pass it again in the next session after, which means like they can move on this and have it on the ballot by 2019. Because they have to pass the same bill two sessions in a row. It doesn't say restrict. So they could theoretically do this within the next, like, 15 months. and have it on ballot. Have it on the ballot for a low voter turnout election in 2019, and have it questioned in a way where you think you're voting for something that's good, and instead you're changing the Constitution to the state.
It's crazy, man.
I mean, that's the path they have, and like you should take that seriously because they're power hungry right now. Like they're like the fucking.
No, I saw like when I see those kind of comments where people that are like, you know, saying, oh, you're being alarmist and blah, blah, blah. I look at it like this. I say, show me proof, right? Show me evidence that rationality is going to rule the day among these people. Show me that. I don't see the evidence, right? I don't see the evidence that they are abiding by any kind of like, you know, codes of conduct or anything like that.
They still want to impeach the Supreme Court justices.
Exactly.
There is a number of them that will want to impeach these people over the next like 12 months or up until Election Day. Like, right. I mean, this is something that's going to be like, yeah, it might not come up, but it's always going to be simmering on the back burner.
Right, exactly. And, you know, frankly, if that we expose this kind of stuff, right, as Sean did, we expose this kind of stuff, that actually becomes organizing opportunity for progressives.
And you know what? You know how every other media outlet covered this as a power grab? That is the main framing coming out of this, is a power grab. And it's exactly what we said this is a power grab.
Yep.
If they were serious to go through with this, which they can, nothing's going to stop them. The governor can't stop them. The Supreme Court can't stop them. You know, you have to pass, the legislature has to pass the bill by a simple majority, two sessions in a row, and then it goes to a ballot vote on the in a statewide election. Doesn't matter. It could be an off year election, a low voter turnout election that favors this type of shit. But yeah, I mean, it's really exactly. Simple to do this.
Like, let's just say, just for an example, let's just say that Scott Wagner wins the governorship, right? I mean, even though what you've said, right, what you've said and what is clear in the law, the governor really has no role if these folks actually wanted to go forward and kind of amend the state constitution. The governor can't, there's no veto power. Right. There's no veto power that works at work here. Right. But I can see Scott Wagner in my head kind of using his position, right, to demand that takes place, right? To go, you know, he was always the guy like, I'm the guy in the back of the room with a baseball bat to keep things in order. I could totally see him kind of championing this stuff and kind of giving that platform to crazy to kind of move it forward. And then a group of people sitting there like, oh, that was funny what they did. And then there's a few of the nut jobs sitting there. I was like, hey, wait a minute. That might actually work, right? So,
yeah,
fun. Well, speaking of baseball bats, we also have some kind of interesting developments in the Mill Creek Township. Creek Township School District, right?
Yes. So you know how we stop mass shooters in Pennsylvania?
Well, River Rocks.
Sticks and stones.
Sticks and stones. Oh, that's literally, too good. That's too good.
Literally sticks and stones. Like the Mill Creek Township school district out in Erie, Pennsylvania, gave their 500 school teachers 16-inch mini souvenir baseball bats to try and stop an active shooter. Because, right, you know, if he has a handgun and you have a bat, you might be able to stop him.
Right. And the thing that I think that kills me on top of it is like not even full size bats. Just mini bats.
I remember when I was a kid, right? We would go to the Inner Harbor every year because my brother high school had a trip. You could bring people with you to the Orioles game.
Yeah.
So like they would go off and we would hang out in the Inner Harbor and I would have like a little baseball bat. And I was like seven or eight. And I would be chasing the ducks around in the harbor with the souvenir bat, trying to whack their heads off.
You were a troubled youth. That's what he did. I could just sit like the teacher sitting there, like handing out the bats and sitting by the door, like saying to him or herself, closer, closer, closer. All right, now. I mean, like.
Did you ever see Inglourious Basterds?
No, I haven't seen it. No.
Do you know what I'm referencing to?
Yes.
Okay. Like the scene from Inglourious Basterds with the bear Jew, Donnie Donowitz, coming out of the tunnel. Knocking some Nazi's head off. I guess that's what's going to happen.
I mean, it's just
our gun control debate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, you got on the one hand, you got the guy from the Blue Mountain School District, you know, proposing buckets of river rocks being sent to classrooms so the students can like pelt like an active shooter out the windows.
Go back to biblical times.
No, exactly. Well, kind of in a weird kind of like
stone them to death.
But yeah, and now you got these, you know, mini bats, 500 mini bats. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that.
It's not even an Onion article. Not hashtag not the Onion.
No, totally. You could totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you had that one right. You could totally.
This could pass as satire.
Yeah, you could totally see them like in the offices of the Onion, like reading this story, being like, "We're done. We're done. we're out of business. We can't. Reality has eclipsed satire. We're done."
A Washington Post journalist was just ripping into Pennsylvania, and he said, "Pennsylvania is like the Florida of the North." And I'm like, "Yep."
Yeah.
I mean, like, culturally, like, these type of news stories only happen in two states, Pennsylvania and Florida. Like,
yeah.
And, like, it's, I mean.
I think, look, I've lived in Pennsylvania since 2002, right? I don't think I have fully appreciated that statement that you just made until this year. Seriously. I mean, I just. You know, because I'm always kind of fairly dismissive when people make these kind of like random jokes and dismissive jokes about parts of Pennsylvania and stuff. But I'm like, but I
as can't a whole,
defend this. I mean, this kind of stuff, and that doesn't mean like again, I'm not knocking Pennsylvania as a whole, right? But I mean, these kind of stories. I mean, there's pockets in this state that I just do not understand. So I mean,
we are like the most ass backwards state in the Mid Atlantic and like northeastern part of the country. Like,
it's so weird.
The only difference between like parts of Pennsylvania and the South is that we have a winter.
We have a winter, right?
Yeah, it gets cold.
Sometimes, and we have potholes, and we have lots and lots of potholes because we can't fix our damn roads.
That's why you cut everyone's taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's the thing we got to talk about with the school safety stuff.
Yeah.
If we want to put like school resource officers and like metal detectors and people working metal detectors, like three or four at every school in the state, mm-hmm. You know who's not going to pay for that? The Republicans.
The Republicans, right? I'm like, who's not going to pay for that?
So it's going to be passed down to like this county and local property taxes, and it's probably going to take away funding from teachers because no one's going to want to raise taxes that much. And you're taking away teaching positions to have like three or four people like sitting at fucking metal detectors.
Oh, dude, I just think, look, why don't we just, I think we should just get it. I think we should just clear, like, just clear the plate now. Let's just get it done. Like, let's go full on assault robots, man, right now. Right? Just get it done. Forget it. Because, like, why the slow burn?
Put, like, a machine gun up top, like the fucking.
I'm just saying, why the slow burn? Why the kind of, like, you know, the endless, slowly kind of degradation of society? Let's just go full on Terminator, right, and get this shit done, and we'll live in our dystopic future now. Let's just do that, right? And so then at least we can kind of see the nuts, like, that we're fighting against, right? Of course, we'll have lost control of everything and kind of spiral down into even a worse world, but that's like, why? I don't know. You know, I think the first time that I really was taken back by something, I know this is totally an aside, but so I spent a lot of time up by or a fair amount of time up in kind of northern PA, kind of around the Ricketts Glen State Park area, right? Red Rock, PA. And if you go down into Benton, right, it's like kind of off Route 118 in kind of northern PA. If you go off into Benton, there's like Fishing Creek there. There's great fishing spots there. Like my wife has family up there. And there's a plaque, like one of the historical plaques, right, in Benton. And it's for the Fishing Creek Confederacy. Okay. So it's a region in Pennsylvania that there was actually like a Confederate holdout, right, in Pennsylvania, right, on Fishing Creek, right? And there's a historical plaque to that effect. Like, I mean, one of the real ones, right? With the blue and the, you know, actual
historical history marker of the state.
Yeah. And I'm just kind of like looking at, you know, and every time I see that, I'm like, okay, I'm beginning to, that's coming into focus a little bit, right? Because as you actually come into Benton, right, especially this last year, and they left it, it's probably still up for all I know. There, somebody built, like, I mean, again, you can't make this shit up. I mean, built this, like, you know, larger than life Paul Bunyan sized Donald Trump plywood cutout, right, and posted it up on the roadside, right? And it's just like, you know, I'm like, man, this is a joke, right? You know, it's like, you know, this is a joke, but it's not.
My favorite thing about when I know I'm back in central Pennsylvania is when I am driving on the turnpike and there's that fucking rock on the side of the road that has freedom on it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I call it Freedom Rock. Not yeah. Freedom. Yeah, right. Freedom. Like F-R-E-E, capital D.
Right.
They fucked up the spelling.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
And every time I see that, I go, aha. I go, I'm home.
Yeah. Well,
this is where I choose to live.
Yes, exactly. I'm always thinking about my version of this when coming back on 78 or if going on 476 north. There's two different billboards in either ones, and it's just like, and the whole billboard just says, "You will underlined meet God." That's it. It's just like, okay, thank you.
You know, like all the Scott Wagner billboards are popping up.
Yeah, lots of them.
Billboards don't vote.
Not yet, Sean. Not yet.
Billboards in Maryland don't vote.
Fair enough.
Well, no, I'm serious. He has a billboard in Maryland.
Yeah, I know.
By the Bay Bridge.
Well, you know, he's going after, you know, a wider, you know, constituency. So
I think he just wants. I think he just wants his mistress to see him all the time.
Oh, someone's letting the cat out of the bag. I don't know about that.
That's the joke. I can't verify that.
You can't verify that. Senator Soprano. That's just a story at this point. But Sean is working on getting some verification. Just saying.
So I had a funny encounter about Wagner. You know, we had a good discussion about a state rep who's Italian. Said something about like, oh, what's it with you and like, you know, the trash industry is like, hey, listen, you Italians can't corner the market on everything. and then he started laughing, and I was like, and then I put a picture of Wagner with the Sopranos, and he just goes skull dead, crying skull.
I can imagine. Oh my god. Oh, well, hey, we got one last thing for here before we'll kind of just talk about some rando stuff as if we're not talking about rando stuff already. But it is this kind of way, special Thursday night, kind of with beer session of Out the Coop, me being out in State College and trying to at least get some semblance of a podcast together. Hopefully the quality is not going to be too bad here, folks. But just if you haven't seen it already, as you know, I've been following this whistleblower case, the Colleen Bradley case from She exposed some misrepresentation in the budgeting down at, misrepresentation is a generous word, at Westchester University and in Pashi. It's the kind of stuff that we've been covering on Raging Chicken for years. And her case is, they're kind of moving to have it heard before the U.S. Supreme Court because she's been denied First Amendment workplace protections. Right. If you want to know the details of it, I'm not going to go into it now because the connection's not great. And I'm afraid I'm going to put Sean to sleep if I do. Talking about a Supreme Court precedent. So I won't, Sean. Don't worry. he's like, yay. But anyways, that is posted up there. And so I had an opportunity to have really good discussions with Colleen Bradley's lawyers this past week. We're going to do some additional interviews this coming week. So you're going to see the part two of this kind of mini documentary kind of thing of her story. If you haven't already seen our first post of that, that was posted up last week. You can go to ragingchickenpress.org. You can check out the video there. It's kind of linked through directly through our YouTube station. But do check it out because it's really interesting because her case, not only are we talking about the fraud that took place or the kind of the budget deceptions that's been taking place in Pashi for a long period of time, that's been used as a way to fire faculty, get rid of academic programs and raise student tuitions. But if the third district court decision in her case is allowed to stand and the Supreme Court does not hear this, then we're going to see a dramatic narrowing of our First Amendment rights at work. So do go check that out and continue to come back to see updates for this story. Look at our Facebook page, look at our Twitter account. And we'd love to hear from you on this one. It's really interesting because I think a lot of people are very reluctant to kind of touch this case or talk about this case because it really goes to the core of some of the kind of practices that are going on in kind of state agencies and like across the state. So I'm going to leave it at that, but do go ahead and check that out. I'd love to hear more from you.
I got one last thing before. I was going to say breaking news as we were recording this.
I thought so. I saw your face light up.
Trump's allies worry that federal investigators may have seized recordings made by Michael Cohen.
Whoa. Well, what kind of recordings are we talking about here?
Conversations between him and clients.
Wow.
President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, sometimes taped conversations with associates, according to three people familiar with his practice. And allies of the president are worried that the recordings were seized by federal investigators in a raid of Cohen's office and residences this week.
Wow. Well, it's interesting. I've been trying to kind of parse out some of what, like, the legalities of some of this stuff, right? Because, you know, you have attorney-client privilege. And so I guess the way that this gets broken out is that there's two teams of investigators that will be associated with the whatever was seized, and they cannot have contact with each other. And the one team is purely about sorting through this to find out what is actually protected and what's not protected and on what grounds before it gets turned over to the investigative team. What's interesting about that is that this is the key point that goes to what you're just talking about, is that if there are discussions that are recorded that are about fraud, right, or are kind of law, kind of potentially break the law, right, or amount to conspiracy of obstruction of justice or anything like that, those are no longer protected and they get handed over to investigators.
Yeah, this paragraph here says, we have had some proclivity to make tapes, said one. We heard he had more. He had some proclivity to make tapes. Now we are wondering, who did he tape? Did he store those tapes someplace where they were actually seized? Did they find his recordings?
I just hope that some of those recordings were not done with a videotape in a hotel room. That's all I'm saying, because I don't know as much as that would be. That would stink. The whole Toronto.
We were talking about this earlier.
Exactly. Oh my God. Well, kind of there we have it, folks. So it was just a reminder. Look, if you want to support Raging Chicken Press, you need to go to patreon.com/RC Press to become a member of Raging Chicken Press for as little as $5 a month. We need your support. If the kind of reporting that Sean has been doing this week, right, that has been exploding on the web, has been driving a lot of the conversation around this, the kind of, more kind of sustained kind of interview and investigative stuff I'm doing now with the Colleen Bradley case, right? This is time, right? And as you know, as everyone who listens to this, everyone who reads Raging Chicken Press, you know that we are doing this for the most part, as like side projects, right? Sean will tell you that that Raging Chicken is certainly not supporting his life right now. And for me, it's more of kind of like, this is where I've put my investments right here. So you becoming a member supports this kind of journalism and helps us pay writers, right? We're really close. I'll tell you this right now. We're really close to getting to the point where we're going to meet our second goal, which will mean it'll be kind of upping payments to writers even further, right? I mean, my goal would be if we could get to the end of 2018, which we're kind of like almost getting to the point where we're paying almost market rates for articles for our writers, that would be absolutely amazing. Because once you hit that, not only are you able to kind of like support the writers who are doing the work, right, but you're able to attract even more people that are willing to do this work to the project. So please, if you can, become a member of Raging Chicken Press today. Go to patreon.com/RCPress and become a member as little as $5 a month. We're going to be right back after this message with our last call. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Over the past 6 years, we've brought unapologetic, progressive, activist media to Pennsylvania and beyond. We've helped hold those in power accountable and shine a light on some amazing activist work. We've broken national stories and established a reputation as an aggressive, independent media site. As newsrooms close and traditional journalists lose their jobs, hard-hitting, investigative news suffers. If we care about our democracy, we have to find new, sustainable models of journalism. And frankly, no one's going to do it for us. After the Trump election, we dug in even deeper. Thanks to some longtime members, one-time donations, and a shift in other resources, we brought on more writers and started paying them. Now we're doubling down and want to expand our infrastructure and pay our writers even more. We need to invest in our media if we have a chance to resist the unprecedented assault on democracy, working families, women's rights, and our planet. History will remember the choices we make today. So take a minute to become a member of Raging Chicken Press. For as little as $5 a month, the price of a local craft beer or a cup of coffee, you will be supporting homegrown progressive journalists and media activists. Go to RagingChickenPress.org and click on the Support and Membership tab to become a member. Leave a one-time donation or learn about other ways that you can help. We don't have billionaire backers. Keeping progressive activist media going strong depends on you. Thank you for all your help and support. Keep up the fight. Welcome back to Raging Chicken's Out the Coop podcast. It's time for Last Call. And Sean is over here. He is chomping at the bit. He's got a story to tell. Ooh, listen to that.
Ooh, yeah.
I think that's the sound of, well, yeah, we should wait. Actually, before you get to your story, let's say, so what are we drinking tonight?
I am having a raspberry Berliner Weiss from Pizza Boy.
Well, there you go. You know, this is on my way from Kutztown out to Harrisburg. Usually when I come out to not to Harrisburg, I'm sorry, to State College, usually I'll bring out stuff from Saucony Creek, right from Kutztown. It's kind of, it's our local thing for our union. We bring it out and stuff. But today I just was rushing around at the last minute and I just like, oh God, it's just going to be easier for me to go this other way. So on the way out, I stopped at Pizza Boy, and ironically, or maybe not so much, I also picked up so what is the actual cause? It's the turkey burglar caught red-handed Berliner Weiss, yes. Right? So I picked up that. And I had mine too. So we had that. But I'm on to the flying laser beams at the moment. Can number two, I have to say.
I'm on can number three.
Well, no. Look, I got three here, right?
Yeah.
I'm on can number three. can number two of the flying laser beams, right? So
they canned the turkey burglar this week, right? And I end up getting a case of the low fills for free. So I'm kind of just working through it.
You're just kind of doing your good civic duty. That's all. Yeah. You don't want it to go to waste, right? That would be horrible.
You don't want it to become oxidized.
Right. So you gotta get them down quickly too before they go bad, right?
Yeah.
I also got the and you said this one too as well. I was just looking at stuff that I haven't had on the menu, and I also got a crawler of the Archangel. And when I got that one, Sean was like, "Oh." Right, so that one comes in at like what did you say? It comes in at like 12% or
12.5%, 12%. Yeah,
yeah. So we'll see. Well, I'm not going to open that one. I'm going to do it around other people, so I don't end up drinking the whole thing. So it's going to be like that.
Sissy.
Well, you know, I just got stuff to do tomorrow. It's early. That's what it comes down to. I don't know what to say. And there's a word I haven't heard since third grade. But you know, thank you for reminding me of that one. Yep. Oh, great. So, all right, Sean, your story. What do you got going on?
Someone decided to put a sticker on my car.
Yes. I'm glad I totally forgot about this. Yes. Go ahead.
Someone decided to put a sticker on my car in my neighborhood that says, "I watch gay porn."
I love gay porn.
I love gay porn, yeah. And... So I put on this like, haha, this is pretty funny, because I wasn't the one who found out. The bartenders that I was picking up from work when I was getting my check found out. They're like, why do you have a sticker on your back that says, "I love gay porn"? I'm like, what? I'm like, no, because it's something like they would just totally say just to fuck with me.
Right.
And I'm just like, no. Like, it took them like to the point where like, no, you actually have to come out with us.
They're like, for real. No, really, for real. Come here.
Yeah. It's like, it's on your car. We're not lying. I'm like, yeah, okay. He's like, no, for real. Come out here. And I'm like, I was just like, fuckers. So I put it up on Facebook, and someone like, a friend of mine from the gay community, I put a thing. I was like, wow, I noticed this 4 nights ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was wondering what was up. And I was just like, yeah. I was like, that is my car. So I put something up on Instagram, instead of like taking it down, because I look at like a type thing. I feel like my car was targeted.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly.
Like, because all of my liberal stickers and socialist stickers on there.
Yep.
So they're like, oh, you gay liberal, which is like, you're using, like, you're trying to weaponize liberal as a pejorative. And I'm like, or like that, like, philosophy. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll keep it on there.
Yeah.
I will not cave in. And I support Planned Parenthood sticker coming in on the way from someone. I'm going to put it right next to that one.
Awesome. It looks like you got a space cleared for it on your car too as well.
Yes. Yes. There was a sticker there at one point. And just put that Planned Parenthood sticker up there. And that would really get people pissed off in the area.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's awesome. Yeah. You check out Sean. Check out Sean's picture there. It's freaking awesome.
Compliments to Bernie Sanders. I'm like,
Yeah. When you posted it, right? And you posted it, I'm like, that's exactly what you do. That's exactly. Here you go. Oh, you're trying to like shame me by kind of, you know what? Not a shame. Here you go. Going right back at you.
Yeah. I'm really comfortable about my sexuality and being straight. So you're not going to like.
So, okay. What's the thing that you're trying to do here? You're marrying to make me whatever.
All right, I'll flip it back. I'll turn this into like a fuck you to the social conservatives out there,
right?
And put a Planned Parenthood sticker right next to it, and then that would really get looks from people.
Yep, I think you get another bumper sticker. Maybe I'll make this for Raging Chicken, right? That we're just gonna say, can't wait to see the P tape.
Show us the P tape.
Yeah, show us the P tape, please. Oh my god. Oh man. So here we are. I'm out here, like, yeah, it's in State College. It's our union's legislative assembly. It's the last one of the academic year, and you know, there's some serious stuff that's going to go on, because in part there's we're having like elections. This is kind of our election cycle, but it's also the last time that we'll meet as an assembly before the expected Janus decision for this summer. And then, you know, that's it's gonna be an interesting thing. And so I don't remember, we talked about this briefly, postpone it again too as well, which I hate to do, but I mentioned this in our last podcast that the president of Edinburgh was basically like forced out because of student and faculty activism. And so I'm going to run into some of these folks that were in part responsible for that this week. And if I can, if they're willing to, I'm going to try to sit down and kind of do at least a short interview about what happened up there at Edinburgh. Kind of put it out as Out to Coop Extra. So don't be surprised this week if you see some additional Out to Coop Extra stuff from this ABSCOF Legislative Assembly. Be kind of cool. The other thing that is coming out, as you've seen, there was a rally at Westchester University this past week for the PA Promise, right? That's the kind of, you know, the free college tuition modeled after the New York policy on this stuff. So hopefully there's gonna be some folks there. We'll kind of chat about this too as well. And my friend Kara, shout out to Kara, who I saw actually on the way in today. Kara kind of is just knows great beer and whiskey too as well. So if I got any tips from you, I'm gonna ask her about that too as well. I'll send it your way too. So Kara Laskowski, tips to you. You always have kind of cool stuff. Anyways, so Sean, it's your mating season again, I guess.
Asshole.
So
every
you wouldn't be the first in the call.
At the beginning of every April, those yellow crown night herons come back. So all the pictures are going up online in neighborhood groups that the birds are back. These like bluish yellow topped crown herons are back. They're actually pretty neat. They're like a really their body's like 26 inches in length, but they have like really short stubby feet. So like they look odd when they're flying around and all. They are back in the neighborhood. Harrisburg is their only nesting colony in all of Pennsylvania. And pretty much they're only like, not their breeding colony is right here in Harrisburg. And they nest anywhere throughout like the south central part of the state, going out to like parts of Bucks and Montgomery County.
Moving on, bigger things.
I gave my 2 weeks on a pizza boy, and I got some work lined up here in Harrisburg. And I'll be writing once a week at least down to Budget and Policy Center.
Woohoo!
Yes, I am looking forward to it. And it feels nice to get out of the bartending world for now.
Awesome. Well, our connection is starting to die, everybody. So, Sean, any last good of the order?
Drink up.
See ya!